Greetings, this is your girl Isis Wisdom of IsisWisdom.com, also the publisher of WordOnTheStreetsMag.com. Tonight I have a very, very special guest, and we're going to talk about the importance of ascension with Dr. Delbert Blair. Also, I have a special co-host, which you guys are very familiar with him. His name is Seven. He is the author of The Code to the Matrix. So make sure you guys tune in and listen to this hot show. Hello, Dr. Delbert Blair. How are you doing this evening?
Doing fine, and how are you doing this evening?
I'm very excited. There's a lot of people in the chat room. You know, everybody was kind of anticipating this show. I'm very honored to have you here tonight, and I know Seven's very honored to have you here as well. So,
well, I appreciate the compliments from both of you and also from your audience, who's very gracious to think that.
Okay, so the first thing I want to do is I want you to just give us a brief summary of just of who you are and what you do for my audience who's not aware of who you are. Can you just give us like a brief summary of who you are?
That's very difficult to do. I'm a director of the Meta Center, which is short for Metaphysical Center. We're coined and charted as the Meta Center. We were coined and charted back in, well, coined it in 70, charted it in 72. And we've been going full swing from that one. I'm a college professor, a history professor. I also have a an engineer's background, as I worked for a couple of insurance companies, and whatever they insured, I had to inspect, and that went from intermarine, marine, grain elevator, silos. It really tested me because I was the only black in the engineering group. And then also, more or less, you would say again, I'm also a minister. Had my own church for a while until I woke up as to the things that I was saying that were not true, and I didn't know at the time when I got out of seminary that they weren't. And I guess I've had all kind of crazy contacts or different kind of contacts, had my life saved about 7 times. I've been poisoned. Wife was killed when we both were poisoned. I got over it. She didn't. So I have a background that is quite extensive, experienced most things, and hope some things I don't have to experience as we enter into a heck of a time on this planet.
Okay. Now, speaking of entering into a heck of a time on this planet, there has been a lot of craziness going on here as of late. I mean, I know you heard about the swirlies that took place over in over Norway, the sky, and then, you know, of course, there's the pyramid hovering over Russia, and then some stuff took place over in China, and it's just been a whole bunch of extraness that's going on. So I wanted to talk to you about the facts. You know what I'm saying? I know me and you had a discussion about people searching for their own truth. So with you, I know I'm going to get the facts. So let's just talk about a little bit about what's going on. Like right now we're in this exciting time, but what in the world is going on in 2009, and what can we expect in the next 3 years?
Well, in the next 3 years, and it's interesting that you use the term next 3 years, because that would be 10, 11, 12, and that most people are not thinking past the figure 3 from now, because they're talking about 2012 and the Mayan calendar and all of these things. I don't think the Earth is going to go anywhere as far as linear time goes during that time. I think the Earth is getting to vibrate faster. And it is my opinion that from conjecture and from listening and from weighing, that our planet is going from the third dimension to the fifth dimension. If that is the case, we're in for quite a roller coaster ride. That's like going from kindergarten to postgraduate school in 3 years. It's not really 3 years, because we're using our chronology in the eyes of the master or the eyes of the creator, who knows what time it is. Most of our time delineation is already off. The calendars are wrong. Under the Roman Greco-Julian calendar, we lost 441 days in the year 45 BC. They added the months January and February through the Januarius and Februarius consul through King, Julius Caesar, and then this other guy. So we really don't even know what time it is. We might be there already. So it's just a matter now of using the delineation chronology that we understand and see if we can make sense out of it. The sense seems to be, no matter what the time really is, that by the 2 more or 3 more years, our planet will be in the fifth dimension. That simply means it will be now able to do things in what the heavens of Earth used to be called. We have, as I understand, 7 heavens. And when we die, we go, if we're good, to the first heaven, and then we go on like that. Well, that would mean that the seventh heaven would be the ultimate. Well, the fifth dimension is equal to the fifth heaven, which means it will have heaven on earth, if you begin to understand how these terminologies are now beginning to be revealed and come true. Before, we were in almost like the hells. There are supposed to be seven hells. And that bespeaks the idea that there are seven inner layers of earth, plus hell or Helen means to cover. So most of that has been covered. And inside the earth is the theory of the hollow earth and this kind of thing. So as we begin to see all of these things that didn't make sense before begin to be quite lucid, it means that we're growing in consciousness that all is being revealed. And the problem is some of the things that are going to be revealed are just absolutely mind-blowing. And this is what I think we're faced again. If we stay with this planet, we will have to speed up our vibrations because the planet which we're on is speeding up her vibrations. And as she does that and we do that, we begin to be more and more a little wiser of what we do. People are talking about seeing shadow people now. They're talking about seeing images and so out of the corner of the eye. That's because we're getting into the fourth dimension very quickly. And we were before in the third dimension. This is why when you're half asleep and coming out of your body, you can get eyesight. You begin to see things you don't see. People begin to say, well, they wake up nowadays and they're frozen and scared stiff because they're screaming and scared, but they can't hear anything. Well, all of these are just showing that we're beginning to freeze frame what we normally do. I could talk about this forever, but I'll just simply say, as we get more into who we really are, and we are not physical, we are souls in a body trying to understand physicality, not physicals trying to understand spirituality, and we're having a hard time getting used to these physical bodies because they were much beneath what we should have had. They were much there because of our karma dharma that we needed to experience, and now we're going to get a full experience of a ride of what we could really be instead of just what we used to be. So as I say again, we could elaborate on that for the longest, but in an overview, the reason why you're seeing these things like you saw there in Norway, and if you remember again, that was where your president was already going to be presented the Nobel Peace Prize. And that's the same reason. It's not accidental that at the same time you see this symbol in the sky. They tried to pass it off as a Russian fighter in spiral, crashing or something else. It had nothing to do with it. This ray came from the ground, which meant it's either what they call a hologram, or you're getting an emanation from the third dimension. Whichever way it is, it was not natural. And it was done at a time to draw attention to Norway, quite obviously, because this is where the president was. And if you remember in the acceptance speech and all, it's been said, you know, we fight wars in order to gain peace. Never was a good war, never will be. Wars are not gained to gain peace. They're fought because we couldn't settle our differences on the physical plane in an amicable, admirable way. So consequently, we have to take it to the plane that's going to take us even lower. Wars have always been fought on this planet. Wars have been fought in interstellar space. Wars are always fought. It's because we souls do not understand non-souls, and that means, again, that there are soulless creatures out here who envy our souldom, who envy wherever we can do because we cannot die, and consequently, there's always going to be this altercation back and forth. I guess I better stop somewhere here because I could just go on and on, but that's an overview of what I think is happening, many other things that will happen, and, of course, the cause is because we're going to a faster dimension and a faster vibration, and later on a whole different resonation of consciousness.
Okay, now I was going to say it does seem like the time is definitely speeding up. I know there's days where I'm not able to keep track of linear time as we know it. So there's definitely something going on. Seven, do you have a question?
Actually, what I was thinking about at this moment was in regards to the, you know, just to my understanding, I know we use a lot of the terms loose, but the planes and the dimensions and the difference between the two, one being somewhat lower. But I wanted to ask the doctor, just by the way, you know, it's an amazing time to be on the line with you, and definitely a high point in what I've been working on here, especially as far as activating humans. And we have a website full of individuals that are experiencing numerous amounts of things that I personally cater to. And we've formed what we just call the resistance. But I wanted to talk to you, Doctor, about the activation of the human body, you know, just in making an assessment myself, if I was told as an observer to give a report on the situation that's happening here on Earth, so it makes its proper transmission it seems to be that there should be some light humans that are to deal with the situation even going on in 6D and these type of beings that still, I would just assume that the human being doesn't get themselves on a higher spiritual level will still have something to face with. Is there the conscious life on sixth dimension and these other dimensions also, have you noticed that there's still somewhat of a control system going on in those dimensions?
Well, the control system is not universal. It's limited to our solar system and especially to this planet because, as you probably know, or at least I believe, and of course you have your own beliefs, that this planet is very special. It's supposed to be there are 22 other planets like this one in all of the galaxy. It was really like a zoo, almost like a test, a laboratory planet here. And so many things were done here. So many of the laggards were brought here, which helped to bring this planet down. But I think overall is what I like to determine what I believe at the beginning here and now, too. In a sense, I like to form it like this, that matter is merely energy condensed to a very slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness. We're experiencing ourselves multidimensionally, that there is no such thing as death for a soul, and that life is just a dream, that we are the subjective imagination of ourselves. So I say, if you are allowing your dream to become a nightmare, please wake up. That simply means we're in somebody's consciousness. We are part of that consciousness, and we're now going to ascend to the higher callings in that consciousness. If you're not allowing yourself to rule yourself, to govern the body you're in, then you cannot rule or govern anything else that you're external to. It starts with self, and self is where it's going to end.
Okay. The next question that I had for you was that let's briefly touch on, because I don't really know how you explain this to somebody who's just coming into this kind of knowledge. You know, you have people that are not aware of all the different guys that are here, and I just need you to expound truthfully. What is the significance of these different guys and these different dimensions that are currently being worshipped here on planet Earth, and how would they really assist the human being? And if not, you know, that truth, you know, I want you to expound pretty much on that truth.
Well, that's another maxim. Let me just answer that. But before we get off the air, I have what I call a truth statement. I tell people, don't come to me for truth. Come to me for facts. Now, the fact, okay, as I understand them, is that we are on a planet. A planet is a place where it's just one of many cells. Well, that's going to make it even more confusing. It's just one of billions of trillions or nanillions of other little planets around in what we call our cosmos. Within that is the universe and all things like this. We are experiencing what we call life. In a sense, some people think life is death. You know, it used to be when you were born, people cried. When you died, they rejoiced. It was reversed by Christianity that we reversed that because they knew that the soul which had come from bliss, which means that we are a soul as part of a creator, and that we took a little bit of that image, got very conceited, and said, therefore, we will stray away from our creator, but we will see what it's like on our own. So if you notice, people that are near death, they fight for life and they cry and go on. Well, if life, you know, is something that is so wonderful, then why do we fight the wars here? Why do we have drugs here? Why do we have swine flu here? Why do we have genetically modified foods here? Why do we have killing and jealousy and hatred? Why do we have penuriousness and poorness? Why do we have starvation and babies dying? If this is such a great place, why do we have all these misnomers, these misconceptions of what beauty should be? I think that we lost something, and we lost something when they took us away and started religion in the first place, because there is no true religion. Now everybody gets angry with that one, because the only religion you should have is a consciousness that you and your creator, wherever you came from, are one. And any time you need to find out who you are, contact your creator by going within. Therefore, all other philosophies and doctrines and religions are false because they teach you to go through someone else, some prelate, some go-between, something else, when you were born of the creator or in the creator at all times. This is where the difficulty comes because as children, we come here blissful. We come here open-minded. Your children talk to animals, and animals hear. Children see clouds in the room, and they talk to them. Children are on the other side because they just came from the other side. Adults tell them, if you don't see it, don't hold it, can't touch it, it doesn't exist. Stop talking to your sheep, child. You don't see anything. It's because they have gotten so blinded. They're so full of poisons and toxins and vaccines and meats that they can't see. Within us all, if we have souls, and there are soulless ones down here, if we have souls, we already know the truth. It's just that we now must justify our existence for having to experience it once again on the physical plane. To get down to pragmatic, down-to-earth explanation for this, I can only say, as I started out before, energy is simply matter that is now slowed down. We all are pure energy. As we slow down more and more, we think less and less of higher dimensions and get more and more locked into the physical, so much so that we think the physical is real, and yet we have to go to sleep every night to get out of the physical in order to maintain the physical body because it is too low in vibration.
Seven?
Man, I mean, we need about 5 seconds, man. That was the words really, when they set in, that's really what makes the transformation. I mean, I know there's definitely a lot of people in the chat room, and there's going to be many things that are coming after this, but, you know, the essence of the moment itself, just being in the present, is the most powerful thing. And to have the elder come forth and speak and say it as it is, because, you know, I know our work, and Lynn and Honor is also in the chat room. I definitely want to give some shouts out to Lynn and Honor. And, man, just the concept of turning people inward, which is definitely what we've been doing, and to hear it come from the elder's mouth, though, and to explain, because we do definitely get into detail about what's been going on the dimension with the worshiping and things like that, but we know that the youth are ready to make another transformation, and that's why, you know, we see so much chaos from the youth, and that energy can be directed. But I wanted to talk very briefly about Venus, if you could, Doctor, in regards to the actual reptilian being, and because we're at a point where we've confronted and had seen the being and a few of its drones on the dimension, who do they work for?
Well, okay, now you introduced Venus and you introduced the reptoids, and I totally agree that the reptiles have taken over Venus. They have 7 dome cities there. So it's very interesting too. But now, if as the Sister Isis said there, Sister Wisdom said there, I was losing them before, think what we just did to them now. However, obviously in the chat room, you know that there's some people there that are of consciousness and of higher consciousness and are into metaphysical consciousness. I don't know that everybody in the chat room reaches that conclusion, but let's just say for the sake, because you know more of your audience than I, that there are many who are awake. Then let's just go with the consciousness that there are soulless beings in this galaxy and that have conquered many, many, many solar systems that are soulless, and they are reptilian in form. The overall rule, it changes somewhat, but the overall rule, as I understand, eggborns do not have souls. Wombborns do. And the reptilians, who have really hybrided the very bodies we're in, we have, you know, again, at the top of the spine, we have a reptilian brain. That's a heck of a place to put it in a body to jump into, because it means that in order to get to the higher consciousness, you got to go to the reptile brain. And that reptile brain does only 4 things: fight, feed, flee, and fornicate. And I'm being nice. Fight, feed, flee, and fornicate, the 4 F's. And if you remember, too, in World War II, when you flunked, you had 4 F. You were considered 4 F. So I simply say this. I agree with you, and if we wish to go that far, and if Sister Wisdom wishes us to go that far, we can talk more about the reptilians, which I think are inside the Earth, but they're inside many planets. And also
yes, we need to talk about that.
And also that the reptilians, of course, have part of our ribonucleic acid, even though we're supposed to control the dinucleic acid, which means that our very body systems, our very blood systems, are still hybrided by reptilians. This is why it's so easy for people to show fangs and fight and get evil real quickly, because they are evil people, because they're soulless, and they always have been, and they resent that. But past all of that, there's so many wonderful things in this cosmos, so many wonderful things in this constellation, so many wonderful things in this solar system, if we could just rise to a higher vibration. Most of these reptilians live on the fourth dimension. That's why they can come through walls. That's why they can abduct people. That's why they can do these wondrous things. That's just like somebody that just got out of high school and instead of going on to college comes back to grammar school to mess with their children on the playground. It shows again their lack of consciousness. It shows again that they don't have souls. And it shows again that they will pay, because when they go, there's no everlasting light. They're gone. If they stay on this planet, they will not have everlasting light. They will die. So it is their problem now trying to get off of this planet as we ascend, while we as souls were trying to get into the heavens of consciousness, because now the things that our parents and dumb children and stuff used to laugh about and say we were dumb about will become a reality. That is the ecstasy and bliss that we're shooting for. That is the hell and covering that they're trying to avoid. And therein lies the problem. Therein lies the big clash.
Okay. Now, you had me and you had discussed earlier about the control that the reptilians have currently over planet Earth, and someone made a comment in the chat room that not all reptilians are evil. But then the question I have to ask is that, you know, any time that you have a being or a race of beings that choose to enslave another species or another race of beings, I just can't see them as something positive or something good for my life. So
well,
I want you to talk. Go ahead.
If you remember, or if you're knowledgeable of whichever way it goes, amongst some of the Dogon people and one of the Tuaregs and Siluks and so, they spoke of a Dambala, the good serpent. Okay, Dambala was again part of the serpentine that did try to help mankind. And did try to help human, and even try to help us men descended from God, because they did understand that down the line they may be able to gain a soul, possibly if they live well enough. This is why a lot of the literature and scriptures in some of these holy books make some sense, but are disguised because of the ignorance of the practitioners. The whole point is, again here, there can be good and bad in all things if the vibrations are correct. In general, though, the serpent people resented us. They resented, again, any soul that could go into dimensions when they were locked to the fourth dimension, and they've tried to make life here on Earth very miserable. Yes, there may be some good species, just like amongst the racism here, there are those who are not racist, but we categorize by saying all white people hate black people, all black people hate white people, yellow people hate brown people. The hatred is something that comes from within, not from the color of the skin. So as I say again, we're beginning to wake up to the true fact, not of race, but of consciousness.
Right.
Mm. Is it true and sane? Because from my investigation, I noticed that it seemed like the body itself was, you know, some type of invention from the same individuals that seeded the Egyptian empires, the empires of Maat or matter. Is it safe to say that the body itself seems to be a composition of animal-like life forms, but the spirit itself is, as I say, it's solo, is from somewhere else?
Yes.
Inside of an animal body?
Okay. Some of that got, your voice kind of got a hollow. Probably my phone is tapped or whatever, I don't know. But overall, I think I got your statement that you led then to a question. Our bodies are hybrided. And if you just look at your bodies, you can see there are scales on one side, the smooth palms on another, the feet on both the soles and so on, the palms and a hammer. That then you have all of these other cells that look somewhat like scales. You can get psoriasis. There are people every day that get scales all over their place if they eat certain foods or get into certain toxins and poisons like this. These bodies are animal hybrid bodies. They were made by the Dracons. They've been over here ruling us for about 4 million years. They've been really going crazy for 400,000 years. That's why they don't feel that they owe us anything, that we are their captives. We are like their little zoos. But what they fail to understand is different souls come into these bodies for the experience. And whether or not they help to hybrid these bodies or genetically modify them, it doesn't matter. A soul is here for the experience. They don't have souls. They cannot come out of souls and go to areas of dark matter and dark worlds, so therefore they seem to forget that. Or they have been so species-specific that they have worked out all of their higher consciousness and can only think on certain levels in consciousness. So yes, these bodies to me, if you notice, they have floaters in these bodies. They got all other kind of things in these bodies. The mitochondria are everywhere. And I think that some of that is, of course, is genetically modified to be put in there, and some of it, of course, is in the bodies themselves. We are always changing form. Radiation helps us to change forms. Drugs and poisons and toxins help us to change form. And now, if we're going to stay with this planet, we're going to have to change form and consciousness. So I don't know whether that speaks to what you were saying, but that's the way I understand
it. It does definitely, Doctor, and I really want to ask a question that's very important because I didn't write anything down previous to the show because I just wanted the energy to flow. And I wanted to talk about I know for sure that they're using what they just call external Merkaba, which is really a ship to do what they need to do, but we have something like an internal Merkaba. And I wanted to talk about spinning the Merkaba in the geometric shape that one should visualize when they spin, because of course they have the six-dimensional, what they just call the Star of David, but was definitely didn't belong to David and was something like a German Hexmeister. Is the actual shape still, though, of the body to get it to dissolve a shape of six, though, because it's a carbon-based structure?
Well, you see, that's limiting, again, the carbon to mutate. If you remember, what is that woman's name? Dr. Mona Harrison, who they killed, was an excellent researcher into the molecular structure of water, which forms crystals. And if you notice, you can get you can go tetrahedrons, you can go hexagons, you can get, you can go anywhere you want with that one. It really depends on the number of pyramid points that you can exact, the pyramus, the ways of beginning to get a star cluster. I think that what is happening here is that since we are mind and don't realize it, our very minds change the forms of structures around us to conform with us. And this is what is very interesting now. You know that old phrase, so is in the microcosm, so is in the macrocosm. So as in whatever you look at in a telescope, and it'll blow your mind. Whatever you look into in an electron microscope, it'll blow your mind, because there's no end to creation, whether it's out or in. It just simply means that as we view it, that's where we are. And what we've got to begin to relearn again is that our mind affects matter, because, as I stated again at the very beginning, matter is only energy that is slowed down. So when we get higher in vibration and higher in frequency, the resonated things that are all around us is the matter will change to whatever we want it to be. So it's only temporary forms while we're physical. It can be permanent forms in the idea that it can be brought back to pure mind. That being the case, any hedron can be utilized by the soul to make it whatever he or she wants, depending on the rate of consciousness, the density versus the energy, and the way that we can vibrate with our own minds. We can do anything we want to do, but we can't do it when we're thinking on a third dimension and on a third dimensional planet. Therefore, the planet is changing. Therefore, we are changing, and pretty soon we'll be able to do anything we want to do.
Okay, I got a. We're at the top of the. We're at the 7:30 mark. So this is the time where I start taking questions from people in the chat room. The first question I have to ask you is, how does one find out where their spirit is from?
Well, spirit is to, how can I put this? Mind is to spirit as brain is to the physical body. The spirit is a form of consciousness that is now going to use mind as its brain. People will say, have you lost your mind? No. But why do we say, have you lost your mind? How can you lose what you can't hold? Which lets you know we understand that matter and form are simply rates of vibration. So people say, are you a lunatic? Well, that's the name of the moon, Luna, when it was first driven into place here. But we were affected by it. But we remember that, so now we even use these phrases. These phrases only show what we used to know versus now what is taught. We've frunked. This planet has been controlled so much so that we've gone backwards in time. We've gone backwards. Instead of progressing, we've gone backwards because we took so many low-vibrating souls here, as I say, the laggards that came here, the giants that came here, everything here was to work souls into oblivion rather than let souls begin to transform a planet. So overview from that one, and I think your original statement there was that if we can understand a little bit about who we are, then we can understand a little bit about why we are, then we'll understand where we are. Where we are has got to change because we've got to wake up to who we are and why we are. That's the third matter that we have got to deal with. We now have got to come into consciousness. That's what people are doing. They are now vibrating. They want to know more. They know something is not right. All the movies that are look at the movies that are coming out here now. I mean,
it's getting a little ridiculous right now with the movies.
But it's not.
It's getting a little ridiculous.
It's not. It's not. It seems ridiculous. There's underlying. Let's just take a few. Avatar will start, I think, soon, next week or so. Avatar
yes.
shows the ability of the soul to adapt to any form of matter on any place that's under a sun. Okay?
Right.
Avatar will show we can morph. But look at all the comic books that are telling the children who are just coming in here, which are what they call crystal children. The indigos through now, the crystals are coming in. They know that they can morph anything. It's just reminding them before they're made to forget to remember that they can be and do anywhere. And it's always those advanced souls that morph and lead those people. It's going to show an aquatic people there that gets a soul who was already high that goes back to them and leads them into a higher consciousness. Look at the thing now. They have the men who stare at goats. They said it was a dark comedy. There was nothing comedic about that. I happen to have the original film on that one, which is called Spasnok. Spasnok stands for Special Forces. It's a branch of the KGB in Russia, which have morphed these individuals to stare at you and kill you with your eyesight. That came because of years of study. People don't understand that. You're looking at the movie now. What is this other thing? Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind. Well, that kind of hurt me because I bought my own Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind almost 18 years ago. When Spielberg and Lucas came out with Close Encounters of the Third Kind, because I had a close encounter. This is what changed a lot of my life. My encounter was nothing horrible about it. In fact, it gave me a privilege to know that there were men in suits of skin called Negroid or Black that could do things I couldn't do, and I wasn't being taught that in school. So that let me see that people could bend time, that people could see into the future, that people could read minds. Nobody was teaching me to do it. But it helped to awaken me. So when you see Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, it's another one. Here's 2012. If you look at that movie and you hold those thoughts, you'll bring about disastrous results. Every matter on Earth, from volcanoes and water and land and everything, just all went berserk. That's not a thing to hold in mind, and that's not going to happen that way. But if enough people see it, and enough people are resolute that this is the way it's out, and they hold it in their consciousness, they'll be bringing it in, because whatever you love or whatever you hate, you think about, and therefore you bring it to you. I say again, these movies are doing both good and bad, depending on the consciousness of the people who view it and the intelligence of the people to interpret it.
Right. Well, what I meant when I said that they were ridiculous, I think it's because I'm adept to see the messages and the things that they're trying to tell the people. And to me, I guess because I can see, that to me it's just so wide open with what they're doing. I have to remember that the average person doesn't have the ability to have that kind of sight. So I see it now, and it's just like, wow, they're really going hard now. It's almost, but then they've probably been going hard for the longest. It's just that I'm aware of a lot of things now than I was before. I have a second question for you. Somebody asks about the Jeddak Torah or the evil eye. Can you explain that? What is that?
What is the evil eye?
Yeah, they said the Jeddak Torah or evil eye.
The Jeddak Korah.
I
don't know what the Jeddak Korah is. I do know before that was brought up, I think Brother Seven there mentioned Merkaba and so on and so forth, the Merkaba. As I understand that, now I don't understand what the Jeddak Korah is. Okay, I do understand the evil eye. Evil eye is when you're actually through the cornea and through the optic thalamus nerve, you're radiating your thoughts. And the thoughts go out into your field of energy around you. If your field of energy can be projected far enough away, it interferes with another person's field of energy, and they are now captive of yours. That's what you call extending the field through the chakras again. I don't want to get more technical than we already are, but that's the way I understand it. If that be the case, then I can tie it in with Brother Seven's statement and seemingly whatever came from the chat room, and that is just simply this. We have chakras. Chakras are the original bodies for the soul. But because of the density of our planet, the gravity of our planet, and the low vibration of our planet, we have to get exoskeletons and endoskeletons to support those chakras. So instead of being physical beings, which we're not, the soul beings can now live within the physical. The Merkaba is the alignment of these wheels of life, these energy centers, the things that brought us to this planet and help us sustain under a sun. Once they set up an energy field, it's been called the Merkaba. Breaking that down, Mer means travel or water or waves. Ka and Ba is spirit and soul. So it's a way for the spirit and soul to travel in matter or waves away from wherever they want to another point. Wherever you can project that point, if it's in the evil eye and whatever area you control, a person within that area can be subject to your control. That would be called the evil eye. But in the Merkaba, that's just the highest vehicle of the highest type souls to travel because they don't use spaceships, whether it be gravity or propulsion or jet fuel or anything else. They use the Merkaba, the spirit mind control of the waves of energy from the universal prime creator. So that's the best I can say for that.
Okay, the third question is the reptilian draconian is the reptilian or draconian a genetic anomaly?
So, do that again, please.
They said, is this a reptilian draconian genetic anomaly?
A reptilian zirconian means zircon, the mineral.
No, reptilian or draconian, draconian.
Or draconian. Is it a reptilian or draconian what?
Genetic anomaly.
Genetic anomaly. Well, a genetic anomaly, well, we're getting down to genes now. We're getting down to, therefore, DNA and the helixes within it. Is this a... Well, I don't know if you're going to call the planet a genetic anomaly set up by reptilians. No, because they didn't make this planet. But controlling the planet and trying to make it into a very low vibrational... it would be anomaly because it's not what the Creator wanted. Therefore, anything that is not what the Creator wanted is an anomaly and will not last long. In that sense, I guess you could say, yes, they've influenced it, but they didn't build it. They're just influencing it.
Okay. Can the soulless obtain a soul?
Now, you know, that's something that I was told at one time was impossible. I now begin to believe that there's no such thing as the impossible. It's just a matter of consciousness and who wakes up first and who has the depth and wisdom to understand that there's nothing that the Creator cannot do. And as long as we're in the mind of the Creator, anything can be. I think we limit ourselves. I do believe that there is a way for those who don't have souls to possibly attract a soul, or for those who don't have souls and their matter is gone, to have willed so much that they could have had one, to be given the opportunity of getting one. Nothing on this galaxy or in this cosmos that the Creator cannot do, because the Creator is the cosmos. I think the closer we come to that understanding, then we understand the word impossible should be figuratively.
Goddess Isis asked the question. She says, being that we are all energy and interconnected, had the people in the 2012 movie collectively energized their minds to be one mind in harmony, order, and balance, could they have brought the chaos under harmony, order, and balance?
Yes. That's my belief.
Okay.
too succinct an answer, huh? Yes,
yeah,
I believe.
Hey, I like it.
I believe, again, in concentrated thought. Because that's all we are, is concentrated thought. That's why some people can live when others die, come out of fires and everything else, going to have a car, and a car seems to go to another car. Impossible happens, and they're still alive. Because when we get in strong enough consciousness, this is nothing but a dream illusion anyway. And the more we can understand that life itself is an illusion. You know, I started off by bringing that out, that matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration. Once we understand that, there is no such thing as the impossible. But the impossible can become probable when we begin to exist in the universe that we're in now, rather than understand that we are completely universal, that we're not limited. But we do limit ourselves. Combined mind can do anything. This is what I'm telling people all the time. Get into concentrated thought. We can't hold a thought for hardly a moment. And if we do, we're influenced by something else. When you start getting groups of people concentrating on one thought, you have power. Because that's all we are, a concentration of one thought from the universal prime creator.
Okay, her second question was, she says, do you subscribe to everything is mind and nothing gets past the mind, which is thought energy, and evil slash hell, good slash heaven is mindsets? Before we act on anything we do, it was a thought first.
Oh, I believe in that totally. That's what I tried to say in my way, and I love the way she said it.
Okay. Another person asked, is it safe to interact with orbs?
With orbs?
Yes.
Okay, now that's the idea that people see orbs, they see them in woods, they see them in their bedrooms, they see it whenever they're half semi-conscious. Orbs are everywhere. We're going to see more and more orbs as we get deeper into the fourth dimension, and that's not going to be too much longer because we're in pretty heavy as it is. We'll be coming out of that toward the end of next year into the fifth dimension. Yes, you'll see orbs because many orbs are souls. Souls are nothing but light that appears. They're lights. They're energy units, if you would. And the color of the soul kind of tells you the kind of energy that's within it or the energy potential of it again. So I would simply say if these are orbs, by my definition, then orbs are everywhere. And there's a world called a guff where the orbs come from, and orbs can begin to change their energy units, but they cannot cease to exist.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. Is Oregon the element 115 of the periodic table hidden away?
That must
hey,
be
these are questions they asking me. I mean, they hit me.
That's very interesting.
These are the type of cats I got, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just, you know.
That's very interesting because that gets into quantum physics. And quantum physics is just metaphysics. They just refuse to call it what it should be. So the only physics to me out there worth anything, and I know a lot of physicists will take me to task, but I don't care. I've been taken to task many times, probably will again. I take them to task for being ignorant and being so slow-minded because they will not suspend their consciousness. Quantum physics is metaphysics, and metaphysics teaches meta means above, and physics is science. If you're going to use the Greek terminology, I think that's not the best language, but nevertheless, that's where it comes from. So anytime you begin to get into the quanta, it means the quanta of matter is the concentration of energy from a mind. And to me, we're all in the mind of the universal prime creator. We're all in the mind of first cause. We are products of first cause. So therefore, quantum simply means that I understand that I understand that everything is temporal, not real, and not going to last. And as long as I give it consciousness and put my energy into it, it will last. As soon as I change my energy focus and another is not, that too shall pass. That too will pass by.
Okay. Are dimensions infinite or is there a limitation to them?
Dimensions, frequencies, resonance, vibrations, all are just, again, let me go back at the beginning. Matter, and I started off the show with this because I knew this was going to come up if your audience was really astute and metaphysical. Matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration. We are all one consciousness. We're experiencing ourselves multidimensionally. There is no such thing as death for a soul, and life is just a dream that we are subjective, imaginating ourselves into. And if you're allowing your dream to become a nightmare, please wake up.
Okay. Another question was, what is tarot cards and their uses for good or evil, or can they be for both?
Either. Cards only reveal what's in your mind. Cards, crystals, stones, rhombs, rhinestones, everything. All of these things are simply numerology, this other thing, astrology. All of these things are simply using devices to convey the inner thoughts and make them more relevant. Once you're used to going within, you don't need any of them. If that's what helps to trigger you from being able to go within, then this is what you would use. These are only tools to the soul when the soul has not found itself yet completely in the physical body it's within. We use physical things when we're physical. We use mental things when we're mental. We use spiritual things when we're spiritual. And we use them all if we're high in consciousness.
Okay, Goddess Isis says thank you. She says thank the doctor. You know, so she says thank you. She said that she would like for you to explain the importance of channeling, remote viewing, being one with the cosmic universe, our cosmic ancient ancestors within, being one with the divine intelligent energy that revealed created us.
I thought I just did that. Did she write that question? Did she write that before I just went through my little spiel about matter?
Probably.
I can repeat that again, but how many times do I have to do that on this show?
You don't have to. Let's see. Okay. Did I ask you the question that says, how do we realign energetically with the part of our energy already in 5D and higher dimensions?
You may have, but I don't remember it.
I don't remember asking.
Do that again for me, please.
Yeah, he did. Oh. He did answer that question.
Oh, he did? Okay. Thank you, Seven.
Yes, sir. You did. Yeah.
Okay.
If I can say something real quick, you know, so we can definitely get to the meat, because there's a lot of, there's definitely, we have, I did compile your recordings, Dr. Blair, when you're ready to receive those. I know you were asking about that to be done. And so there's a lot of stuff that you've definitely repeated over, and I wanted to definitely take some time for some new information to come forth. I just wanted you to, if you could, to reveal to us the power of water. We had a small video, actually it was quite a longer video, but they were examining water and showing that it had memory cells within the water. And I know you talked about the still water, and then I definitely see that something is going on here where you can change the molecular shape of water, and if your body is 70% water, and let's say you change it to a dodecahedron, it would be really easy to assume that shape and whatever comes with that shape. Can you elaborate on that some, sir?
Yeah, and for that they killed Dr. Mona Harrison, and I refuse to let her memory go because people don't even know her. And all she did was become an astute scientist spiritually and manifested, and for that they killed her. She showed in that film, she has two films. One is called Water, Water Everywhere, Not a Drop to Drink, and the other is called Water on the Brain. And it is not what you think, like not the kind of skull that has, you know, the brain and water brain. But it shows that consciousness can change water, because water is only frozen matter, and the mind can work on matter and energy to change it to whatever they want, which means that anytime you see water, if you can raise the vibrations of that water, you can make it, will become anything you want it to become, whether it's frozen or whether it's heated. It simply means that if it's heated and it boils away, like in distillation, and of course distilled water is just simply evaporated, recondensed three or four times, and the more you do it, the more you get the less minerals in it, and the more you get to pure mind. So we are pure mind. And as you well put out there, Seven, that we are simply 96 to 98%, some only 42%, and those are the ones that all dried out. But most of us are water. And so if we can change the minerals in water to crystals and crystals into consciousness, then we can also change ourselves and our blood and everything else, which means that there's nothing we can't do if we wake up inside these bodies to make it conform to our thoughts. And we are all products of what we eat, drink, and think, no more, no less.
Doctor, could you elaborate a little bit on the Ormies? I know we were going to get together and put together a package for people that want to build up the herds and the megahertz, as you talked about, in the blood, and to get on the monatomic so they can begin to get into accelerated thought and quantum thought. Can you put anything in there with the monatomic gold and the importance of these type of things?
Well, I believe in monatomic gold. I've been taking it for 20 years, and I hear all the bad things about it. It saved my life, or helped to save my life. So I believe in it. Very interesting that at the end of this month, the company that I deal with, we are no longer going to be, they have gotten so strict on the regulations for this. By touching every 10 bottles of it, you had to test in this and that. They're doing this because they don't want the monatomic gold to continue. We're hoarding it because I know what it can do. It raises the blood. It potentially raises the blood energy to 121 megahertz. Most bacteria and all can't get over 100. And if we could get it 121 megahertz, not only would our cells vibrate faster, but the cell governor would be able to be sustained. It would not begin to become a free radical and die off because of the pH factors that are low or high. It would be a wonderful thing to sustain. You can always tell what's good, too. Whatever is good, they try to discontinue, stop, or negate, just like they're trying to now come up with a Codex Alimentarius to govern all these people who are wise enough to try to choose for themselves. They try to take the choice away from them. Why? Because they're scared stiff of the ascension of the planet, and they don't want these souls to come back into consciousness. If you ever know what to do, just watch what they tell you not to do.
Wow. I mean, but what is the – why? I mean, at the end of the day – why? Like, I have to ask that question. Like, what? Like, they're, why? Just why are they? Why are they like that? Why are they that way? What, I mean,
let me make it very simple. Now, the thing is, the explanation may not fit the consciousness, and therefore, you or anybody else may say no, and that's your choice. There's no truth for you to decide what truth is. I give you the fact very simply. We're on a planet that was made by very high beings. To that planet came some who were soulless and ponderous, and they were called reptiles. to that planet came souls who were here for experiences, and souls that were here because they were sent to a penitentiary, and souls that were here for all kind of different reasons. And because of that, since these Draycons have had hold of this planet for so long, they don't want to let go of it because they feel it's part of them. Now the souls that are coming in are higher in vibration than they are even potentially. And therefore, they don't want to now get off the planet, which they feel is theirs. They don't want to let the slaves loose because they worked the slaves very well and become very profitable for it. And it's now time to release the slaves, to release consciousness, and to go to an ascension. And they don't want it because if they, you see, it's like in the movies. Where they come from, if you fail, you don't come back. There's no forgiveness because they're very low vibratory creatures. On the fourth dimension, but very low. So if they fail, they got no place to go. So like rats in a corner, they'll do anything to stay their ground because they have no place else to go. And that's what it is now. As this planet goes to the fifth dimension, they're on the fourth dimension. They will not change, therefore they die. We can go to the fifth dimension and adapt, and this is why those who can see it are looking for that new light to come, that new consciousness to rise. It's a battle for the planet, and it's now coming to an end. The planet is leaving them in higher vibrations, and this is why I tell people too, if you cannot speed up your vibrations of your mind, and therefore this brain governor, the cell governor, you will die. If you take in these things that keep you low, like all these vaccines and all these things and poisons and toxins, you will die of the physical. The beautiful thing is, even if you die of the physical, your soul, you cannot die completely, you'll get another chance. They don't have souls, they don't get another chance. Therefore, they're fighting for their very lives.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead. We got 9 minutes till we reach the top of the hour. For those who are currently listening, if you have any questions for Dr. Delbert Blair, please call area code 347-884-8787. That is area code 347-884-8787. Also, Dr. Delbert Blair, could you please shout out your website for everybody to, you know, check you out for those who are listening who are not in the chat room?
www.themetacenter.com. That's www.the meta and the word center.com. The landline is 708-422-6685. 708-422-6685. And I thank you.
We got another veteran in the house. We got Lennon Honor in the building. Shouts out to Lennon Honor. I'm glad that you're here helping us moderate the chat room tonight, bro. Also, make sure you guys check out his website, LennonHonorFilms.com. Also, our co-host, Seven, make sure you guys check out his website, thewords.ning.com. Also, my website, IsisWisdom.com, which I'm sure a lot of y'all are already familiar with. We got some callers on the line, and I'd like to take a few callers. The way I do it is I just announce the last four digits of the number, and then I just say, caller, you're on the air. So we're going to start with a Chicago number. Last four digits, 6880. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
No, I don't, actually. I was trying to figure out how to just listen instead of...
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, you're fine. Okay. Area code 231, last four digits, 6649. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. All right. I just wanted to know, refraining from food, however, I feel like it's the only first step towards full ascension, and refraining from breath is the next step. So if I was to go into that, I mean, how long way off for the vast majority of us can do that, or is it actually possible?
Well, did you say refraining from breath?
Well, after refraining from food, then you refrain from breath, and you can become one with your light body towards ascension. I don't know if that's the right way to state that.
Well, it's the way you've stated, so it's the right way for you. At least it's something you're considering. Breatharians, I've never met one. I've heard of people who say they have them in the Himalayas. There was one who went down in Brazil and had a lot, Joinville, I think they had about 30 years ago, and most of them went inside the earth, supposedly never to be seen again, whatever that means. Breatharian, I've never met one. They say it's possible to do. I've heard about Hindu fakirs and stuff that do that. People who reach samadhi that can do that haven't met it. Now, as far as refraining from food, yes. In fact, I think there's a time when everybody should fast and get food so that the body can begin to cleanse itself. The cells can begin to vibrate higher. Other than that, they begin to die off. And if they're really bad off, of course, they become cancerous and this kind of thing too. So I guess all is possible if we are not really anything but energy anyhow. It's just a matter of where we find ourselves, how much discipline can we exercise rather than talk that's made cheaply.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for calling in. We got another, I'm going to take another call, area code 323, last four digits, 5630. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Dr. Delbert Blair? Hello? Okay, I guess they don't have a question. Now let's talk about the importance, Dr. Blair, about what we consume on our bodies and how much of an effect it will actually have on us in our ascension process. Because, you know, we're used and accustomed to eating a certain kind of way. So how important is it what is it that we need to do on a physical level? And how important is it that we remove, you know, the types of foods that people have been consuming or we've been consuming for our ascension process? And if even if we don't fast, are we even still able to ascend? So those are a couple questions I had.
Okay. Well, even if you don't fast, are you able to ascend? It's according to what you call ascension, and it's according to what you're trying to do. There are people who never fast on this planet, and they go through life. They might outlive some people who do. They may not. I think it really depends on the state of mind. If you're thinking you're accomplishing things each day and things are in perfect order, then you can get away with murder, literally. You can get away with doing everything that is vibratory bad, but you still ascend. However, our planet is changing vibrational rates, and that brings in a whole different ballgame. Because when our planet ascends and you don't keep up, now you got a different problem. At one time, the planet accepted everything that was coming here and put it in order. Some they put into the hells, which means in the inner world. Some they put into the first heaven, which means they're earthbound. Some they lived on that. We have what they call interterrestrials, terrestrials, and extraterrestrials. Those that live inside, those that live on the surface, and those that live in the heavens. Terrestris was one of the old names for the planet. So based on that, if you have the consciousness to do through the will of mind, you can make your body do whatever you want it to do for a limited time. Now things are changing. Now the body is going to have to change because the planetary vibration is changing. The planet is going, again, as I state and understand to be, from the third dimension to the fifth dimension. We're in the good parameters. We're going down the halls of the fourth. So therefore, as I say, people will start seeing things. They'll see dark shadows. They'll see dark matter. They'll begin to see everything on the fourth dimension, even new planets and the new rings of Saturn that they're pointing out. Because we're now raising vibration, these things were out of our vibrational rate. Just as that happens, people can change theirs too. And if they choose to, by getting into the right foods and the foods that will now, you know, you cannot, there's another thing too, you cannot process and put into the bloodstream anything in a solid form. If you eat meat, the meat has to be broken down. It either become fiber and fecal material, or what little good is there is absorbed to the body. So the bloodstream does not contain all of the foods we eat. It contains the minerals within that food. So if we can get in minerals, and the minerals have enough electrolytes or energy, we could live off the mineral kingdom, because the smaller the thing, the more powerful the thing. The more powerful the thing, the smaller the thing. We think big is great. Small is always control of the big. The unseen always controls the seen. So if the breath we breathe had minerals in it with electrons in it that were giving off vibrations, we could live on that. If the food we eat is not the food we eat for the fiber, for bulk, it's the food we eat for the energy for life. So it really depends on what you're trying to accomplish it, and everything is mind. You are what you eat, drink, and think.
Someone asked the question, do they have to form a new etheral body to each of their chakras in order to pass to the fifth dimension?
Do they have to form an etheric body through each of their chakras in order to get to the fifth dimension? Got to think that one through. Do we have to form an etheric body? Well, we don't form an etheric body. we enter into the ether, which becomes the molecules of whatever we choose to be within in that substance we go into. And another way, let's put it like this, yes and no. Yes, on the theory. No, that any time you think of something, and if you think of it hard enough, you conform to a higher thought, and that thought rules you. We are only subject to what we believe in or don't believe in. We are. This is why people should be dead, they're alive, because of the pure will to take them out of this dimension at the time when this dimension is going through a change and they live through it. We are nothing but mind. And the more we use our minds to govern our body, mind, spirit, and soul, or the body, spirit, and soul, the more we can do things others can't. It's a matter of consciousness. The chakras are only just vehicles. The physical body is only a vehicle. The glands and organs are only vehicles. And these, what do they call these things that come from that again? These hormones are only the product of those vehicles. So, you know, when you get a lot of adrenaline being pumped up, you get all hyper, and the whole body can do wondrous things. You hear every year if the woman or the child is crossed under a train or under a truck or anything else, lifts up the crooked one hand, pulls the body out, because they didn't stop to think, they reacted. And unseen always controls the scene. So I think it's a matter of consciousness.
And Dr. Black, I got to tell you, you got my chat room on fire tonight.
Well, yeah,
you got the chat. I mean, these cats is really, I mean, they really getting it in.